If you're watching on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page, you're already seeing a very snazzy gentleman. Looks a lot better than we do.
Dapper.
That gentleman has the dulcet pipes as well on The Fan tonight. He is on the call of Game 1. You know him. It's John Walton from Caps Radio, the voice of the Capitals. John, thank you for joining us out and about here. How are you?
Yeah, this is great, guys. Don't really get out in Chinatown this time of day very much. So this is a nice little treat. If I can walk around, see you guys, and talk hockey, I'm ready. Boy, and how much fun is this? You're right. We haven't done this
since
2019. So, I mean, just the buzz around town, and you're walking around, you're seeing everybody, and you see all the Caps jerseys walking around here. So thanks for getting me out of the house, essentially, is what I'm saying. It's been great.
You mentioned 2019.
Yes.
That was when Washington played Carolina in round one. They had a 2-0 and 3-2 series lead. They end up losing in seven. It's hard to say that a team is a vaunted rival if you haven't played a lot in the playoffs. But damn if we're not working on it right now. This is the second time these two teams have met. I like to say they're closing in on the Penguins. A lot of bad blood from April. Where is Operation Hate the Canes at this moment?
You know, it's funny because I was just talking about this the other day. I felt like in 2019, like when you went to Raleigh and Canes fans like, oh, it's the Caps. They're our big rival. And we're like, yeah, that's cute. Like we've got the Pens, we got the Flyers, we got the Rangers, even the Bruins. But it's come a long way in large part because of Rod Brind'Amour.
Yep.
And the last 7 years, they've not only gotten in seven straight years, they have won seven straight in the first round. They have had trouble after that. Let's hope that continues. But the identity that they've created, the fact that there's some geography in play here, that it's not that far away, a lot of us are going to be driving down. So I think all of that being said, it is a rivalry, and it is when it's nasty. Think back to the game on April 2nd. We had 120-some penalty minutes in the third period. These teams hate each other. And I think it's not always because of playoffs. Playoffs are going to ramp it up. Like this series is going to really, I think, put the stamp on that. But I also think that when you look at these two teams over the course of the last 7 years, Caps haven't won a lot in their building. They lost the series in 19. They've been good. Caps were down and now are back. So I think it's going to be awesome. I think this series could very well. If you win this series, you are a legitimate, maybe even favorite to win the Stanley Cup. That's how good I think these two teams are.
Well, you mentioned favorites. Grant and I have been putting our heads together trying to figure this out, John. The Washington is the heaviest underdog left in the postseason, not only to get to the Stanley Cup to win it, to win their conference, and to win the series that they happen to be in. Carolina's good. They deserve respect. That is a very good club that is absolutely capable of beating Washington and beating whoever they play in the next round and winning the whole thing. Why is Washington such a heavy underdog here? I don't get that.
I don't like the sometimes the analytics, and some people have, they want to be able to put it into a math problem and say, when they say Carolina is 67-33 favored to win this series, that's crazy. These two teams, the Caps beat them twice in the regular season. The Caps had to play them, and this is what a lot of people forget, unless you travel, I guess, or don't travel. When we go to Raleigh, each of the last 2 years, I haven't had a dinner in Raleigh in 3 years because we keep going in back-to-backs where they're rested and the Caps are coming in, no morning skate, got in late. One time came from Boston, other times came from D.C. It hasn't been a total fair playing field. Having said that, they jump on you in their building. It's tough no matter what. They are a very good team.
Yeah, they're good.
I don't understand. This series is not as lopsided as some of the analytics would lead you to believe. This series will go at least six games. The Caps may win and they may not win, but it is going long because the Caps have played better at home than almost any team in the league. They play well at home. The Caps have home ice here. I don't see this being a short series for either team at all.
Voice of the Capitals, John Walton, on the call just after 7 with Puck Drop, about 4 hours from right now. He's got your pregame at the end of the 6 o'clock hour here on The Fan. John, Carolina, I read, has won a playoff series in seven straight years, which you referenced, but no team's done that. I think it was Montreal, like 80s into the 90s. I mean, it's been forever since a team has even done that. So the consistency is legit. What do they do so well? Why are they the analytics darling? Why does everybody love this team?
They hold on to the puck a lot, and they do that by creating a lot of momentum. They traded for Mikko Rantanen, who is a legit first line stud in the middle of the season.
We just saw that, didn't we?
And it blew up. Yes, we did. And the reason he's in Dallas is because Mikko was not a fit for them, and they realized after he got there he's not a fit. You have to be a certain kind of player hard nosed. I the best comparison, and it's not a perfect one, but like a John Tortorella coach team where you need guys who are willing to ball out and go and be able to play that hard nosed, yeah, forecheck, but more just generating momentum. They're always skating, so they hold on to the puck a lot. If you watch tonight and you say, okay, if you look up at the end of the first period, Carolina's got 6-7 shots, then a lot's going right for the Caps because they're going to generate off the rush, but Spencer Carberry is going to get last change, hold them down. If they've got 15 shots and they're doing that on the road, that's not good because that means the top line is probably getting a lot of chances. Pierre-Luc Dubois' line is going to play against Sebastian Aho's line. That's a very good line. It's like the Caulfield line in the last series. They're going to have to stop that line, and it's going to start with Pierre-Luc Dubois, probably certainly Nick Doubt as well. But that's what they do. They hang on to the puck. They don't let you have it. They fiercely protect it. They try and get it back, and they're always in motion. They're always moving, and it's a winning brand of hockey for them. It's worked, and they have just the right pieces that they bring in from other places a lot of times to make sure that they can play what I guess we'll call Rod Brind'Amour hockey.
Aho averaged 22 minutes, 19 seconds on ice per game in round one. He's the franchise all-time leader in playoff goals, assists, and obviously points. So what else do we need to know about last change here at home in terms of a Carberry plan? He's going to win the Jack Adams Award very likely.
Oh, in a landslide.
Okay, that's good to hear.
Landslide.
I thought he outcoached Martin St. Louis in round
Absolutely,
one.
Absolutely, yes. Especially as that series went on, even when he didn't have last change, still got what he wanted in Montreal.
So what else? So PLD's line, which is heavy and physical on their top line, makes sense. Is the Carlson D pair still the one you want out there going into this game? Like, how do you view the rest of it?
I think first of all, Dubois is going to start a lot of D zone starts because the thought has been really all season, you have him out for defensive purposes, but he's good enough to be able to generate offense and get up ice quickly. The other guy's going to be nicked out. You're going to see those guys for the D zone draws and being able to hold those guys to the outside, especially when the big line's on the ice.
Is that to win the draw or is there more to it?
Well, it's winning the draw, but it's also you want to be able to start from generally behind the net. And it's usually like two quick passes out of the zone. You'll see him stick to the outside, like quick touch, and gone. And if you're able to do that off of the faceoff win, great. If you don't, then everything's on a perimeter. You want to be able to take away shot lanes. You want to be able to clog it up between the dots. And that's what they did brilliantly against Montreal. Even when they had the chances, they really didn't do very much, especially as the series went on. The adjustments were brilliant. Now, when you have the ozone draws, that's when the Ovechkin line comes out. That's when you'll see Strome. That's when and it's fun because I thought Connor McMichael was brilliant in the first round.
Yeah.
That is where the offense was coming from on that line. I mean, people have said, it's like, oh, PLD only didn't have any goals. He only had two assists. He's been tasked with so much in the D zone, and he's the biggest reason maybe why the other team's not generating a lot. He's getting pucks to McMichael, and you've seen Connor's work ethic has been off the charts. I think offensively he's been as good as anybody for the Caps in the first round.
You're such a baseball guy. You're a Twins fan, I know.
Yes. Sadly, yes.
The comp for people, because sometimes I think even our listeners, we have a ton of Caps fans, but for the casual out there listening, it's like a catcher in baseball, calling games, learning the pitching staff. The offense, when it comes, and he'll have it. But he has called brilliant games. He's been unbelievable behind the dish, cut down on the running. He's been so important, PLD has, defensively.
So, stylistically, now, John, you've forgotten more about hockey this morning, or your walk over from the arena than I'll know in my entire life.
In your few block walks.
Seriously, yeah. Just like as you adjusted your tie, you forgot more than I'll know. But for me, this is the style that I fear. The way Carolina plays, speed is just the word I use. But that when ice racing, we're not having a speed contest. It just feels like there's never any room. It feels like that there's no time, and everything is urgent. And they force you into that mistake that you've seen time and time again for so many victims, and now it just happens to be the Caps are on the way. Stylistically, what's the counter to that? It's easy to say, hey, let's just do this. Well, they're here and they're a favorite for a reason, talking about Carolina. Stylistically, what do we look for here to say the Capitals are counteracting what they do?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing, Danny, is that when you establish forecheck, they play very similar styles. Both these teams are trying to keep you to the outside. They move very quick. They play with pace. So stylistically, it's pretty similar. Well, how do you beat that? Well, the biggest thing that you need to do is if you can make the quick pass out of the zone and try and get something off the rush, that'd be nice. It's not always easy to do. Short of that, jump in and be able to forecheck the puck, to be able to force their D to make mistakes. Their D's all right. Their D's better than Montreal's is, but they are susceptible to being checked off the puck. You want to be able to get pucks dug out and being able to force to the front of the net. First chances aren't going to be Freddie Anderson. Freddie is a goaltender who's hurt a lot. He got hurt in the first round, and this essentially all the last game and most of the second to last game of that series. He's going to play tonight. Make life hard on him. Bump him a little bit, maybe. Let him know you're there. Get to the front of the net. Create chances. The first chances you're not scoring. Second are the ones you got to get. I like the fact that in the playoffs, we saw this teased a little bit during the course of the regular season, but not much. Chychrun and Carlson together. So being able, once you dig the pucks out, feed them back up top, start from there. And if Chychrun's got a lane, as they're still down below the net, try and get Chychrun a shot lane or two. Because when he gets that thing off, we all know how good that can be. He had a good first round. I think there could be better things for Chychrun even now. If you're able to get a forecheck going, get those shots from him. If they go in, awesome. If they don't, pick up the rebound. Go to the front of the net. And I've seen a lot of guys working really hard on this team. I'm thinking of McMichael. I'm thinking of Duhame. I'm thinking of Doubt, even though he hasn't scored. But he's there, too, to be able to jam those pucks in, get the greasy ones. That's what this time of year is all about. Do that, and they have a real good chance of getting off on the right foot tonight.
John Walton on the call of Caps Hockey after 7 o'clock right here on The Fan, a little under 4 hours from right now. The voice of the Caps kind enough to walk on over in Penn Quarter. And you guys should do the same before you go to the game. This is our pregame spot, so as you get out of the office today, this place is going to be electric before puck drop. We're here until 6:30. John, who's got to be better in series number two than they were in series one? Who do you want to see elevate?
I would say maybe not even an individual, but special teams were a bit of a concern. At 5-on-5, the Capitals owned Montreal and badly outscored them. Where the series remained close was that Montreal scored 5 power play goals. You do that against Carolina over the course of a long series, you're probably not going to win the series. You've got to be able to contain their weapons, which starts with a couple of things, right? Don't take penalties. Now you're going to take some. But keep the number low and be able to get the penalty kill going. And to that end, the fact that Alexei Protas is back is huge. The fact he was able to get a game in the last series was big. To get his feet wet, start to ramp up toward playoff hockey, he had such an unbelievable year. You're going to see him move around a little bit tonight. Spencer Carberry hinted at this morning. Remember, he's a top six guy. He wasn't playing in the top six in that game 5. He's kind of getting his feet wet, playing with Dowd, playing with Duhame. Tonight, don't be surprised. He's going to move around a little bit. It would not surprise me, especially if offense is a little tough to come by, if it's a nothing-nothing game or you're down a goal. Look for him to elevate in the lineup a little bit. You might see him playing alongside Stroman, Ovechkin. He obviously played there a lot. Beauvillier, I thought, was terrific in the first round. He was in that spot. There's a lot of places. He's a Swiss Army knife. I mean, that's, you know, he can go a lot of different places and help you. Mm-hmm. So I think you're going to see some movement. I think you're going to see if you're Spencer, how everything plays out tonight, say in the first 10. But don't be surprised if Alexei moves up. He's going to penalty kill. Be better on special teams. Do that. I think they're going to be fine.
How did they respond to this, like, 9-month layoff that they just had?
It's crazy.
NHL stupid quirk. Like, I said this at the top of the show, John. I feel like this is such an unusual set of circumstances. Carolina closed a week ago, Washington the day after. That's just how the schedule worked. I think whoever handles that best, whatever that means, to come out tonight and try to find their game quickest will have an advantage to start the series. What's the best way to go about it?
Well, you're exactly right. And for a guy like Alex Ovechkin having a week off, that's not bad. Like, be able to rejuice the batteries a little bit. It is. The fact that it's an even playing field, they both sat out, I think that's great probably for both sides. Here's what's crazy about that. And over the course, this is so end of, 14 years for me here. There has never been a time, not once. The only time this team ever won in 5 games, ever, there was no hockey left to be played. They beat Vegas in 5. Every other series, I've called more game 7s than anybody that's ever had my job before. And that includes Joe B, because in the second round, in the third round, and ones that it's insane. There was always drama.
Yeah.
My first year here was Boston, game 7, then Rangers, game 7, then the next year was Rangers, game 7. I had 3 game 7s in the first 2 years, and this was a no-drama event. It was tight. It wasn't always easy, but winning in 5, especially when you're up 3-1, this tortured history of what's gone on in the past, it's almost never happened. So in the history of the team, we haven't really experienced this in the early on where you're like, okay, you know what? You're rested. You know what I got to do for a week? I'm watching playoffs. So you're, oh, look, game 7. Boy, that must be hard. Yeah, I'm going to go back to the fridge and grab a
snack.
Seems
exhausting.
Yeah. I mean, so I think for everybody, it was a great mental reset. It's not one that's been afforded this team very much, but it's great. Under Spencer Carberry, I have felt, guys, from the very beginning of his coming here last year and certainly this year, business. This is business. We go out. We do a job. We work for the guy in the stall next to us, and they just get it done. So they can doubt all they want. The analytics people can doubt all they want. This team thrives on that. They won all those games in October, November because they said, oh, the Caps aren't even a playoff team. Yeah, how'd that work out for you? If Winnipeg lost to you tonight, they'd have home ice all the way to the final. This team is very good, and they don't panic, even if bad things happen. And look, every series, something bad happens. They might lose tonight. You might be down 1-0, but this team never panics. And if they're up 1-0, all right, doesn't matter. We don't even think about Raleigh. Win game two. That's it. That's all they've done all year, and they never panic, and they always find a way to do it.
John, last one for me, goaltending matchup. You talked about Frederik Andersen. When he's healthy, he's really good. This season, though, he was not as good against Washington, not surprisingly, one of the best offensive teams in the league, as he was against the rest of the National Hockey League. 8.98 save percentage. And then Logan Thompson, interestingly, because of the injury late, I think, only had one start against Carolina this year. He gave up 3 goals on 12 shots, and then he got hurt. That was the game where he left via injury, I'm
correct.
Pretty sure.
Yeah,
but that
April
was 2. One of his worst starts to a game in the season during his only real lull. Should I be worried about that, I guess, from a matchup standpoint, or was it just a weird night on a back-to-back?
Weird
and then
night.
The goalie matchup.
Yeah, weird night. And with Logan, I mean, he certainly showed in the first round what he's made of. Zero worries there. I think when you look at, you know, why did he only play one game? Like I was saying before, all these back-to-backs. So Charlie was getting what Barry Trotz used to call the junk mail games. Like, not so much, hey, you're playing a good team on a back half of 2-2 with no morning skate and no rest. Hey, Charlie, good luck. You know, those are the kind of things that happen too. So Logan is going to be fine. I loved his rebound and what he was able to do in game 4 and game 5. He's done nothing but win at home. This team was good at home during the regular season. They've been good at home in the playoffs. They've been good if they get down. They've come from behind to win too. They've done exactly in the first round. They did exactly what they did in the regular season when they were at their best. Logan will be at his best. I expect Freddie Anderson's going to be at his best. He's a very good goalie as long as he's healthy. You know, he got hit in the head and missed a game and a half, and then he got the week off, so that was a benefit. But is he 100%? Well, we'll find out. But I think everything that Logan has been in that series against Montreal, what he was during this team during the regular season, I think he's exactly what this team needs.
Would you do me a personal favor? It's a pain, what I'm asking.
Do I get chicken wings out of this?
Well, I think you could treat yourself.
You should get them from here, by the way.
That's why I'm asking. I know
they're really good. Yeah. If you do this, I will owe you chicken wings.
Okay.
Could you call a 4-0 Caps win tonight?
4-0. Let me write that down. Yeah.
4-0.
Make sure you get the details.
Couple of empty netters.
Who would you like to score?
Yeah. You know, let's see. Okay. Duhaime, maybe a little TBR just to try.
Doggy Duhaime.
Here's where I want to start it. Let's not get weird. Let's have the greatest goal scorer ever to live. Score one. I want it off the face-off, right? So now all of a sudden, what just happened? I'm confused. He's already celebrating.
Yes.
Give me a Wilson goal because that'll piss them off a little bit.
I like that.
You
see what I'm saying? Their fan base won't like that.
Now Carolina's upset. Now, what am I doing? Like, I'm more concerned about him, which is great because he's handsome.
Crooked number in the first, always nice.
Yeah. Then I want a doubt situation because he's defensive zone doubter, right? And all of a sudden he gets a little reward. It's 3-0. They do a goalie pull. And then you can have your doggy Duhaime.
Career high 14 this year.
Yeah.
Fourth line Paulson would like to see that.
And that's what I want. And I want them reeling and asking a lot of questions about themselves. I want introspection.
I think that is a very good way to approach it. And I think that makes for a fun night on the air, too.
It'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah, 3 or 4 goals. I mean, Kenny and I are just going to yak it up a little bit.
You do some bits.
Fun. Yeah, do some bits.
What'd you do with your week off?
Skits and bits
let's
is what we want.
Yeah.
Late in the third period with the Caps up a bunch. What will people hear? Tell them when to tune in and what you got pregame tonight.
We'll be going tonight at 6:45. And on the pregame tonight, I'm going to hear from Spencer Carberry. I'm talking about Pierre-Luc Dubois, talking about Alexei Protas, and talking about Carolina at large. A lot of player stuff that Katie's going to have with us tonight. We had a week to gather materials, so we are loaded. A lot of player talk off the top. A lot of great stuff coming up at intermission, too. Just hearing from players mostly about the opportunity that's here, because I can't believe, guys, it's been 7 years since we had the parade. But you know, when you stop and you think, it's like, it's been 7 years. It's been a while. Just being in the second round feels great. It's not all you want, but just feels like you're back. It feels like we're trying to get back toward, you know, you get out of this round. I mean, you get to the second round, everybody's got a shot because you've already won a playoff series.
Yep.
You're feeling good about yourself. You win this one, I think this team can go all the way. I really do, because I think Carolina is that good. And everybody that's left, even in the West, the Caps have played well against this year. So get through this. Very, very difficult. Do it. It could be really fun here late May into June.
John Walton with us on site at City Tap House, kind enough to come over to our broadcast. Inspirational to watch you this year operate, not miss a beat.
Yeah, here,
those of you
that
don't know, fought through a cancer diagnosis.
Thank you.
To see you in the booth game in and game out was just unbelievable.
Yeah, so. Got better in the second half. First half was a little rough, but, man, listen, these guys have given me life. This team won a lot of games in the first half. Makes it a lot easier to come to the rink. I owe the boys a lot, so absolutely love it. Thank you, boys. Appreciate it.
We'll be listening tonight, 6:45 pregame, 7 o'clock puck drop right here on The Fan.